reading from the 11th chapter of Luke's Gospel. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation.'" Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
Brushing your teeth, biting your fingernails, checking the latest updates of social media on your phone, buying the exact same type of coffee at the exact same coffee shop at the exact same time from the exact same person, each and every day, week after week, month after month, year after year. Habits. These are habits. Holding a door for others. Saying hello or not when others walk by. Smiling or laughing. These are habits. Gossiping. Lying. Cheating or stealing. Negativity. Cutting corners. These are habits. These are all habits, and there are many more. As habits are not only that which fills the actions and assumptions of our lives, but habits in many ways shape and guide and even define the totality of our lives. As William James wrote in 1892, "All our life is but a mass of habits." Our lives at their very core are a mass of shrinking and expanding habits. As was uncovered by a recent study at Duke University, most of the choices we make each and every day may feel like the product of well-considered decision-making, but they're not. For as the study concluded, more than 40% of the actions people perform each day are not the result of actual decisions, but rather the direct consequence of perpetual habits. Which is important for us to recognize, for although each of our habits might mean relatively little on its own, over time habits matter. The meals we consume, the words we speak, the attitudes we choose, the products we purchase. All of these habits have an enormous impact on our lives and, of course, the lives of others. But of course, while our habits are powerful, our habits are also delicate. And as any competent advertising executive would be sure to remind us, habits can also be deliberately designed. Which means, although many habits often occur without our cognitive consent, they can also be reshaped by fiddling with their parts. And in light of our scripture reading for this morning, I am increasingly convinced that Jesus was well aware of this reality. For his words and his deeds reveal this intimate understanding surrounding the power and the possibilities of personal and public habits. As a gifted educator, Jesus was clearly aware of the power and possibilities of habit, which is why he tried to create a number of personal and public habits throughout his ministry, such as the one we heard a moment ago. Jesus says, and I quote, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.'" And in sharing this profound prayer, Jesus offers his followers what renowned writer Parker Palmer most recently called habits of the heart. And more specifically, through this prayer, which we often call the Lord's Prayer, Jesus instills a particular kind of habit of the heart, and that's a habit of the heart in service to the common good. Think about the words he says, "Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us." Even in these three brief lines, we hear vocabulary of cooperation such as our, us, we, and everyone. At no place in this prayer do we hear the all too common individualistic vernacular of I, me, or mine. When we pause to reflect on this commonplace prayer, we recognize that it is grounded in Jesus' ethic to love our neighbors as we wish to be loved ourselves, which further means each and every time this prayer is prayed, it is intended to create and to build habits. Habits of the heart in service to the common good. The common good, originating thousands of years ago in the writings of Plato, Aristotle, Cicero, it's a notion that's central to the words and deeds of Jesus, and I might argue central to this place. The contemporary ethicist John Rawls defines the common good as certain general conditions that are equally to everyone's advantage. The common good, it includes social systems, institutions, and a cultivated culture that benefits the whole person for the good of all people. For as my favorite African proverb reminds us, which I've shared probably 10,000 times from this pulpit, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. One might argue that being equipped with habits of the heart and service to the common good is not only the standard of excellence for education at this college, but such commitments are benchmarks for enjoying the fruits of the Spirit and living into the fullness of life. But you know this. It's who you are. In those famous words of former President Carlson, we know that we need each other to become ourselves. We have the common good embedded in our mission, our vision, our values, our identity. That's why we are who we are. This is why we have athletes who are willing to give of themselves for the greater cause. It's called teamwork. That's why we have musicians that recognize and appreciate the diverse sounds of others. It's called cooperation. That's why we have artists that affirm the relationship and intersections of various forms of expression. This is why we have scientists who explore the wonder and curiosity of the universe. This is why we have teachers and scholars that share ideas that are large enough to be afraid of. This is why we have activists who strive to hold us accountable to that which is true. And this is why, people from across the country and world come to this place. Not for a ticket to an entry-level job, but for a trajectory to an extraordinary life. And what could be better news for the world? What could be better news? As a growing number of people in this country feel politically, religiously, and intellectually homeless, within the raging and toxic battles amongst various and violent extremes, and as far too many are willing to drink the individualistic Kool-Aid and buzz on the fantasy that we do not owe anyone anything, an opportunity has emerged, and each and every person here is uniquely qualified. Here, in the midst of our unity, celebrating our diversity, regardless of who you are, regardless of where you've been, regardless of what you've done or left undone, the good news of Jesus Christ is that by God's amazing grace, each and every person has the opportunity and, dare I say, the capacity to receive these fruits of the Spirit and build habits of the heart in service to the common good. Each of us can be kind to each other, be excellent for each other, give all that one is in honor and respect of each other. These are habits. Each of us can practice hospitality, can seek truth, can express thankfulness. These are habits. Each of us can protest injustice, practice mercy, and seek real peace. These are habits. And we all possess the opportunity and capacity to own them and practice them. Habits that over time, one purposeful action at a time, shape who we are and allow God to set us free from ourselves in order to be the most authentic version of ourselves. So I want to conclude with a very brief story. When I was growing up, I attended Nelsonville Lutheran Church, located in Nelsonville, Wisconsin, population 200. My mother was in charge of the Sunday school. I believe I still have the record for Sunday school perfect attendance at Nelsonville Lutheran Church. But when Sunday school ended at 10:15 and worship began at 10:30, I did not sit with my family, but I was allowed to sit with Grandma, which was, quite frankly, quite awesome. Not only did Grandma give me what seems like about 5,000 pieces of candy in that 1 hour of worship, making me one of the most energetic Lutherans in Nelsonville, Wisconsin, she let me spend the far majority of those 60 minutes drawing pictures on my worship bulletin. I can assure you it was not a pretty sight, either the drawings or me. But every Sunday morning, there was 2 minutes out of those 60 when I was required by my grandma to offer my utmost attention to the liturgical rhythm of worship. For 2 minutes, I had to put down my pencil and paper, my Saturday Night Live sketches, and whatever else I was doing, and I had to alert myself to what was taking place, and those 2 minutes were the Lord's Prayer. Grandma's now 99, and I doubt she will be with us much longer. And I will miss her when that day comes. I went to visit her recently, and while our conversations are increasingly difficult due to her faltering memory, in a blessed moment of clarity, I asked her why she allowed me to be such a little devil for those 58 minutes out of the 60. And she said, because she knew that for those 2 minutes, I would learn the Lord's Prayer. And that those 2 minutes of prayer was worth the 58 minutes of delinquency, because I was being taught a habit. A habit that would eventually not only change the way I behaved the other 58 minutes, but she believed every minute the rest of my life. My grandma, I spoke to her about an hour and a half ago. Parent of 8 children, grandmother to 20, great-grandmother to 44, great-great-grandmother to 32. And remember, this is a town of 200, right? Now you know why I had to check the family tree before the first date, right? That's why it happened. It took a couple of you about 5 seconds to figure that one out, right? With this massive family and as one seeing the end in sight, she knew, and I'll close with this, she knew that habits were not only powerful, but that habits live on longer than ourselves. And the common good extends not just to those we see with our eyes, but those that came before us and those that will come after. May we build such habits in service to the common good, and may we do so together. And may such habits be shared, and may they live on. far longer than ourselves. In the meantime, we ask God to help and guide us, and we might pray with confidence, and please feel free to join me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our closing hymn is hymn number 712. I'll invite you to stand. We'll sing verses 3 and 4.
Peace, the love, and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.